Recycling is a multi-billion dollar global industry in the midst of a crisis, but for most people, it starts and ends with a bin on the side of their garage. Brian Grimmett of the Kansas News Service staked out the recycling truck in his neighborhood to see where it all goes and to understand why that process might be changing.
It's 6:30 on a Tuesday morning. The unmistakable sound of a trash truck in the distance can be heard moving closer. Just like that, it's gone again. The trash and recycling we put out first goes to a transfer station. It's basically a giant warehouse where trash and recyclable waste are dropped off before being consolidated and hauled off in trailers. The trash heads to a landfill outside of the county. The recyclable material goes to Stutzman Refuse Disposal in Hutchinson, Kansas.
This is stuff coming from Wichita in this trailer. So as you see on the ground, looks very much like trash.
That's Dustin Kelp. He's the regional manager for Stutzman. He says the company gets about 5 semi-trailer loads a day. The trucks arrive full of mixed glass, paper, and plastic. And to turn any of that into a product someone wants to buy, it must be separated and sorted. That's where the giant, 2-story-tall, warehouse-filling machine full of spinning discs, conveyor belts, and industrial-strength magnets goes to work, along with about 2 dozen workers. They pull out waste that isn't supposed to be there, like diapers, old shoes, and tires. These contaminants are behind a growing crisis in the recycling industry. Companies that buy the bales of plastic and cardboard don't want to find a dirty diaper in the material. Even more troubling, China, which had been the biggest purchaser of many recyclable goods, has said it won't take bales that have more than 0.5% of contamination. The bar is so high that most companies in the U.S. can't produce bales clean enough to sell there. That means the U.S. market is saturated with plastic and paper goods. That glut, in turn, sends the price of the commodity plummeting.
To be able to sell, you have to have an incredibly clean product. You've got to separate yourself from the rest of the guys in the pack, and how we try to do that is to keep our contamination rate of our finished product very good.
For now, that means trying to reduce the number of grease-covered paper, old toys, and other unacceptable items from getting into bales, while using the systems and machines already in place. There aren't any plans to call for the end of single-stream recycling or to limit what people can put in the bins, even though Stutzman has already had to send some of the plastic it gets to a landfill because no one wants to buy it.
We can only store so much and hope that the market comes back. But you know, if you don't do something with it, then all of a sudden you're inundated with a lot of product you can't move.
But the uncertainty surrounding global recycling has some cities worried that it might get more expensive or harder to recycle their goods. Joe Pickard is the chief economist at the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries. He says the low commodity prices and the push to limit contamination all add to higher costs for cities and taxpayers.
So I think a lot of the collectors, haulers, and municipalities are looking at sort of renegotiating their contracts. To take account of sort of the changing, market dynamics that they're seeing today.
Kathy Sexton is the city manager of Derby, Kansas. The city has had a contract with Waste Connections, which owns Stutzman Refuse and Disposal, since 2009. It ends on December 1st.
I don't know what our situation is here. I have not talked to Waste Connections. They've not brought it up to me as a problem of late.
Even so, she knows just enough about the current crisis that she's nervous about putting out the request for new bids and what that might cost the people in her city. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Brian Grimmett in Wichita.
Kansas News Service is a collaboration covering health, education, and politics across the state.